Hello, guys. My name is Christy. I used to be an Uber driver. I enjoyed the job because of the flexibility it gave me, but I was aware of the risks. Many people always warned me that maybe Uber is not a woman's job. I was even told that it shouldn't even be a man's job and that it should go back to taxis, as they know how to deal with dangerous situations. I always laughed at those comments. It's not that I haven't been scared and don't believe that these situations are real. It's just that when you are a mother of four kids and you can't afford for them to have a good life, danger seems minuscule. Anyway, I'll tell you about a night where the danger was not minuscule at all. And all those things I was told became real. That night at 10:30 p.m., I accepted a ride from a quiet neighborhood on the outskirts of the city. The client was a man named Calvin Crew. When I arrived, I saw him waiting in a hoodie, avoiding eye contact. Something about his demeanor made me nervous, but I tried to remain calm and professional. That was my first big mistake. Calvin got into the car with almost no response. I noticed that he had pulled down his hood and was covering his camera. A lot of clients would do that when they were uncomfortable with me filming the ride. But at the same time, it's what kept me safe. I thought about telling him to pull up his hood, but that could get me in trouble. Better not to provoke him. As I drove, the atmosphere became more tense. Calvin didn't say anything, and his stare out the window made me feel in danger. I tried not to think about it too much and concentrated on the road, but the discomfort continued to grow. The road was becoming more and more deserted, which increased my uneasiness. A few minutes away from the destination indicated on the application, I felt the barrel of a cold gun press against the back of my neck. My heart stopped for a second before it began to beat frantically.
Turn at the next exit and don't ask questions.
Please, don't hurt me. I have four children. I'm all they have. I begged in a trembling voice to let me live, but he only pressed the gun harder against my head, causing fear to completely take over. I turned at the indicated exit, taking the car down a deserted, dark road. The silence was huge. All that cut through it were the keys on my mobile phone, as the criminal had taken it from me and used it to text the members of my family. I had no idea what he was typing, but it couldn't be good. Calvin ordered me to stop on the road, turned off my phone, and took my car keys. Desperation washed over me as I realized I was completely at his mercy.
Get out of the car and walk into the woods.
We walked into the forest, the fear growing with every step. The darkness was absolute and I felt like I was going to die. I felt that day would be the end of everything. My mind was racing, desperately searching for a way to escape.
If you try anything, I'll kill you.
I felt a sharp pain as the gun pressed against my head again. At that moment, he went through my bag, finding a little money and my ID.
This ain't enough. Did you keep the money, or didn't you work it all?
That's all I have. Please, let me go.
Shut up!
He began to go through my things more meticulously, looking for anything of value. He had already searched, but he was still doing it again as if something worthwhile would suddenly appear. I noticed that this was his moment of maximum distraction. I had to take advantage of the opportunity. I took pepper spray out of my pocket and sprayed it in his face. The man screamed in pain, and I took the opportunity to escape. I simply ran with all my might, panic fueling my speed. The place was completely dark, and as I ran, I was hit by branches that cut my skin, but I didn't care. My breathing was fast and shallow. At that moment, I didn't feel tired, cold, or anything else. I just wanted to survive. I ran aimlessly, just wanting to put as much distance between me and Calvin as possible. My mind was a whirlwind of chaotic thoughts, each one more terrifying than the last. After a few minutes of running, I tripped over a root and fell to the ground. Pain spread through my body, but the adrenaline rush made me get up quickly. I heard his footsteps behind me. The sound was getting closer and closer. How had he recovered so fast? Terror drove me forward. I saw a light in the distance. A possible way out of the forest. As I ran, I heard Calvin's footsteps getting closer and closer. My hope of escape was fading with every second. I turned my head to see how close he was, and that was a mistake. I tripped again, this time on a rock hidden by the brush, and I fell to the ground. I felt a sharp pain in my ankle, but fear made me try to get up immediately. Calvin caught me before I could get to my feet. He grabbed me by the hair and pulled me to him. The pain was unbearable. He picked me up and threw me against a nearby tree. "Please, don't kill me. I already gave you everything I had. Take my car, my mobile phone, whatever. But don't kill me. Think of my children." Calvin leaned over me, his breath hot on my face.
"No one's going to save you."
Then he hit me with his clenched fist. Pain exploded in my head and my vision blurred. My mind was crumbling, consumed by fear and desperation. He lifted me up again and tied my hands with the rope he had brought. I felt the rope in my wrists, the sharp pain increasing my terror. He dragged me deeper into the forest, the darkness even thicker. I was very cold, but that was the least of my worries. I was waiting for something to happen, for someone to save me, maybe have a chance to save myself. But nothing was happening. He took me to a clearing in the forest, where he forced me to kneel down. When he did, he paced back and forth, as if undecided. He didn't know what to do. His mind wasn't set on killing me. Or maybe he did, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. As he walked, I just cried and kept begging. I kept telling him that I wasn't going to press any charges, that I would pretend that nothing happened, that if I knew the address of his house, or my children and I were to have a guarantee that we wouldn't talk. All of this seemed to upset him, and even helped him make another decision. As I spoke, he occasionally hit me, each blow increasing my pain and fear. I felt the warm blood running down my face, the metallic taste filling my mouth. Every second felt like an eternity. The pain and fear combining into endless torture. "Why are you doing this? Can't you see that killing me will bring you more problems than solutions? You were on the tape in the Uber. Isn't it better to stay alive and hide what happened?" This seemed to disturb him even more, but his response was just another punch in the stomach, leaving me breathless. In a moment of desperation, I gathered all my strength and lunged to him, slamming my body into him. Calvin fell to the ground, and I took the opportunity to run again. This time, I headed for a denser area of the forest, hoping that the trees and darkness would give me some advantage. I ran until my legs could take no more, my lungs burning from the effort. I hid behind a large oak tree, trying to calm my breathing. I heard his screams of frustration and hurried footsteps as he searched for me. Fear held me immobile, every muscle tense. After a few minutes that seemed like hours, the footsteps faded away. Hope rose in my chest again, but I knew I wasn't sure yet. I had to move on to find help. I got up slowly, making sure not to make any noise. I tried to walk slowly to escape without making too much noise. I kept walking until I saw the road again. I wasn't near my car, but maybe I could pass a car and ask for help. I let myself be carried away by the emotion and ran desperately to civilization. I had saved myself. But no. Calvin appeared out of nowhere and rammed into me, knocking me to the ground. Without a word, the man had already made his decision. He held his gun to my head. I had no time to react. No time to beg him to let me go. No time at all. I listened as the man pulled the trigger and immediately heard the gun explode in my head. And suddenly, darkness. It was all over. The last thing I thought about was my children. How they would grow up without a mother. How I could never see them graduate, get married, or be happy. I did everything I could to give them every chance I could, even though their father had left them. And in my last moments alive, all I could think about was how much I loved them. Shortly thereafter, as I predicted, Calvin was arrested and is currently on trial for my murder. There is no moral to my death. I had a short life, and I died for no reason. All I ask is that every time you see an Uber driver, every time you see someone driving a taxi, remember me. Behind every person, there is a life and a family. Always think about that and try to see and respect the person behind the wheel. You don't know what history they have or the dangers they have to face every day that they go out to support their family. This story is based on the murder of Christy Spicuzza at the hands of Calvin Crew. Calvin got into her car and forced her to drive, covering the camera. Soon after, they found Christy's body, who had been killed by a gunshot wound to the head. Crew was soon caught and forced to confess. Crew's trial is still ongoing. At the time of her death, Christy was the sole parent responsible for raising her four children.
Working as an Uber driver is not as easy as some people think. I often receive comments from clients telling me that my job is easy, that I just have to apply for a job on the app, and if I have a car, I already have a job. In theory, they are right. But the longer you work at Uber, you understand how difficult it is, as there are things that no one prepares you for. Most nights are routine, getting people from one place to another without incident. But sometimes you run into characters that make you question why you decided to do this. I had one of those nights, as it was my turn to pick up Benjamin Golden. It was around 9 p.m. when I received the notification. A man in his 30s, dressed in a scruffy suit, staggered into my car. I could smell alcohol even before he sat down. I tried to remain calm and professional. "Good evening, I'm Edward, your driver. What's your name?"
"What the hell do you care? Doesn't it show up on the app?"
At that moment, I had my first red flag. I knew I shouldn't have taken it, but the ride was taking me back to my neighborhood, and honestly, I was ready to call it a day. Just one last trip. What can happen? "Yes, but as a method of verification to see if you are the passenger, they ask me to ask your name."
"Benjamin. Benjamin Golden. Anything else you need to know, Your Highness?"
"No, we are ready to go. Thank you."
"Where have I asked for my ride?"
His question confused me. At first, I thought it was a joke or sarcasm, but the man seemed really confused. And as drunk as he was, I'm not surprised. "Oh, you asked..."
"Don't care. Just take me to the city."
"Where to..."
"Dude, I asked you to take me to the city. Take me to the city."
"Okay, sir." At that moment, I considered canceling the trip, but I would just take him to the city and leave him. This man might get angry if I left without him. I didn't want to get into trouble. I started the car and we began the trip. I hadn't gone two blocks when he started fidgeting in the seat, banging on the back of the passenger seat, and mumbling incoherently.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
"Sir, please don't hit the car or I'll have to ask you to..." Before he could finish speaking, he turned to the window and started yelling at two women walking on the sidewalk.
"Hey, you! Don't you have enough clothes to cover yourselves? You look like you're looking for trouble."
The women looked at him with a mixture of surprise and disgust, picking up their pace to get away from us. For my part, I sped up a bit, trying to get away from the scene quickly, feeling the discomfort grow in my stomach.
"Can you believe it? Look how they dress! And then they blame us men? Are there laws in our favor? Do they say anything to them for the way they provoke us?"
"Sir, please try to behave yourself." Golden laughed a guttural, unpleasant sound and slumped back in his seat.
"Don't you agree with me? Damn simp. No woman will respect you if you let them do what they want. You'll live in your mother's basement all your life."
"Okay, sir. Sure." I tried to calm down as much as I could. A fight was the last thing I needed. As we moved on, Golden began to behave even more erratically. He was waving his hands frantically, mumbling incoherent things, and from time to time, throwing threatening glances towards the rearview mirror.
"You got a problem, buddy?"
"I don't have a problem, sir. I'm just trying to get you to your destination safely." The man was getting more and more aggressive. I was beginning to regret not canceling the trip when I had the chance.
"Then why don't you stop staring at me?"
"Sir, no one is looking at you."
"Don't lie to me, you little creep! Do you think I'm blind?"
Golden leaned forward, getting too close.
"You think you're better than me. Is it because I work at Taco Bell?"
"Sir, I don't know where you work, and it doesn't really matter. I'm here to take you home. I'm just asking you to calm down."
"I could beat the crap out of you if I want to. Nobody tells me what to do. Now shut up and keep driving, or I'll rip your damn hands off."
Terrified, I kept driving. At that moment, I felt like a hostage. Nothing I could do was going to end well. Maybe the best thing to do was to take him and keep quiet. Once we got to the city, I started driving my car. I kept telling Golden that we had arrived, but he kept telling me to keep driving. That's when I realized something. I was driving in circles. He had no intention of getting out. I thought about taking him to a police station, but every time I turned into one, he would get mad at me and threaten me for going out of the way he had told me to go. I'd had enough. I needed to throw him out as soon as possible. This man was going to bring me more trouble than he should, and he wouldn't let me leave him at the destination. Sir, I need you to get out of the car now.
What?
You're too drunk to give me directions. I'm kicking you out. Please get out of my car now. Golden leaned forward, his breath reeking of alcohol and his eyes filled with hatred. Confused, he began to get out of the car. It looked like everything had turned out better than he thought it would, but no. Before he got out completely, he changed his mind and lunged at me, grabbing me by the hair and slamming his fist into my head using all his strength. Golden hit me again and again until I almost blacked out. I was stunned, feeling a stabbing pain in my forehead. My hands were shaking. This man was going to beat me unconscious. In desperation, I reached into my pocket and pulled out my pepper spray. I sprayed it in his face and Golden screamed and backed away, staggering out of the car and running down the street. I stood there trying to catch my breath and calm my nerves. I decided not to call the police right away. I know this is questionable, but all I wanted was to get home and put this nightmare behind me. Even though I was in the city, my house was only a few blocks away, as we were on the edge of the residential area. I arrived at my house, my breath coming in short gasps and my heart pounding. I got out of my car calmer. Maybe too calm. So much so that I didn't pay attention to what was about to happen. Just when I thought I was safe, I felt a violent impact on my back that made me fall to the ground. Golden had caught up to me and tackled me, knocking me down with a force I didn't expect from someone so drunk. Once on the ground, Golden began to hit me frantically, like in the car, but this time his attack was much stronger. It seems that the air and the situation had made the effect of the alcohol wear off a bit. The man seemed more and more focused on hurting me. He grabbed me by the hair again and tried to hit my head on the ground. I tried to grab the pepper spray, but he was on top of me, and his body wouldn't let me reach my pockets. Before he slammed me to the ground, I managed to scratch his face, and that gave me a few seconds, but it only made Golden angrier. Furious, the man stood up and walked away from me, only to grab a large rock. I was still crawling on the ground. He came at me, ready to hit me with the rock, but I quickly pulled out the pepper spray and sprayed him in the face one more time. Golden grabbed his face and started screaming in pain as he tried to pull himself together. I, trembling with fear, managed to open the door to my house and got inside, slamming it shut behind me and securing it with every lock I had. I heard Golden banging on the door, screaming and cursing, but I knew he couldn't get in. I dialed 911, informing them of my situation, hoping they would arrive before Golden found another way in. Time passed slowly. Golden's screams outside became more desperate and frantic. He was banging on the windows, trying to force the door, but finally gave up and left before the police arrived. Soon, several officers were at my door, taking my statement and making sure I was safe. I was relieved, but also in shock. I couldn't believe what had happened. I had had encounters with difficult customers before, but nothing like this. Golden was arrested later that night, facing charges of assault and other offenses. Do you know what Golden said when asked how he found me at my house? He said it was purely by chance, that I was walking, angry and lost, and he found me getting out of the car. That was my last night working for Uber. Even though Uber has banned my attacker forever, we all know that the Benjamin Goldens are everywhere. We may not see them every day, but when we do, we are never prepared for these types of people who, with one ride, can ruin your life. This story is based on the real-life case of Benjamin Golden, a Taco Bell marketing executive who violently attacked an Uber driver in Costa Mesa, California, in 2015. Golden, visibly drunk, got into Edward Cabin's car and displayed erratic and intimidating behavior. Midway through the ride, Golden began punching Cabin's head and grabbing his hair, forcing the driver to defend himself using pepper spray. The incident, recorded by the in-vehicle camera, went viral and resulted in Golden being fired from Taco Bell. Golden was subsequently arrested and faced charges of assault and related offenses. Cabin, the Uber driver, filed a civil lawsuit against Golden for physical and emotional damages suffered during the attack.
Hello. Although I can't tell you my real name, I'll just tell you that my name is Laura. I'm a pretty normal girl. My days are crisscrossed by routines, and I really don't like to stray from them. I admit, that makes me a bit predictable, but what's wrong with that? I usually get up, shower, eat breakfast, and go to work with the Uber that my company pays for me. When I get back, I go shopping, have dinner, distract myself for a while, and go to sleep. I like my days this way, and nothing indicated that I should change them. Until something happened to me that would ruin everything forever. It was a November morning. I asked for an Uber to go to work as usual. The driver, Antonio Canales Sanchez, arrived in a white Toyota Corolla. He looked like an ordinary man with a smile that, under other circumstances, would have been comforting. I know this may sound bad, but it's something that happens to all of us. When an Uber arrives, we find it comforting to know that the driver is a man who has been with us for many years. This is because they are usually much more reserved and friendly, but above all, more polite. Obviously, we prefer a woman, but this was a close second. Everything had started off well, but from the moment the doors closed and the lock was automatically activated, I felt a chill. I know this is unexplainable, but I felt that something was wrong in the atmosphere. I had no reason to feel it, I just did. Antonio, for his part, didn't do much to prove me wrong. The first thing he said to me was something that made me very uncomfortable.
Where are you going?
Downtown, to my work.
Do you live alone?
No, I live with my boyfriend. I lied, hoping that would discourage him. So far, the conversation had been casual, but I recognized in his tone of voice and his look that the reason he asked the question was clear. I noticed that Antonio did not seem satisfied with my answer. He made an annoyed grunt and stopped talking to me. That gave me a chance to distract myself with my cell phone, so I didn't have to talk. I was looking at my social networks for a long time, until out of curiosity, I looked ahead. And from there, the ride started to get really scary. The man was staring at me with a terrifying smile. His eyes were huge and his mouth was unnatural. He wasn't looking at the road. He wasn't even hiding his behavior. It was as if he was intentionally trying to make me feel uncomfortable. And he was succeeding. At that moment, I felt completely terrified. "Can you look at the road, please? You're making me uncomfortable."
"Of course. You have nothing to worry about. I know this road. Nothing will happen."
"Even so, it doesn't make me feel at ease that you're staring at me like that."
"Don't be exaggerated. I just turn around for a moment. I hear a strange noise in the back. I was just checking that."
There was no noise. He was lying, and it was obvious to both of us. That's when I realized something else. We weren't going the usual way. Instead of following a direct route, he took detours I didn't recognize. Each detour increased my anxiety. "Why are we going this way?"
"It's a shortcut."
"Please, don't take shortcuts. Follow the normal route." But he didn't answer me. I had to get out of here. I could not continue with this trip. If I canceled, he would get angry, and that would bring me more problems since we already traveled part of the way, and he would think I was scamming him. I tried to concentrate on my phone, looking for a way to ask for help without him noticing. Antonio kept talking, his questions becoming more personal and disturbing.
"You know, you're a very pretty girl. I don't often see many like you this early in the morning."
"Thanks," I replied briefly, not wanting to prolong the conversation. I was very uncomfortable and scared and wanted him to know it to stop. But at that point, I realized he was probably enjoying it. My discomfort only fed his curiosity, as it only became more and more intense, as if encouraging him to take the conversation a step further. Suddenly, Antonio started muttering unintelligible things to himself, and his gaze became even more intense and disturbing. I decided I had to do something before things got worse. I tried to open the door at a traffic light, but it was locked. "Could you unlock the doors?"
"Oh, it's for safety. Don't worry. You'll get there safely.
Listen, I'm very uncomfortable, and you're only making me feel worse with every passing second. I'm going to cancel the trip. You'll get paid the money you traveled for now.
I know how the app works. You don't have to explain anything to me.
Once the trip was canceled, I was ready to get out and leave. But the car wouldn't stop. I asked the man why it wouldn't stop, but he wouldn't answer me. I tried to shut out the windows, but they were closed. That's when I realized something else. I didn't know where we were, but there was no one outside. I quickly told Uber to call 911, but since I had canceled the ride, I struggled to find the option to do so. I was yelling at the man to let me out, but he ignored me. I was about to try to attack him, but suddenly, the car pulled into an empty car park. What are we doing here?
I just need to adjust something in the car. I'll let you out.
At this point, I knew I had to get ready. I looked at my purse for something to attack him with, but I had nothing. My heart was pounding as he opened the back door and sat down next to me. His proximity was invasive and threatening.
Hey, you know what's going to happen. Don't resist too much, or I'll get angry.
Then, the man reached his hand towards me and tried to pull my waistcoat off. No! Antonio lunged violently at me, but the adrenaline gave me the strength to fight him off. The man tried desperately to pull off my clothes, but I pushed him off with my feet. Furious and fed up with not being able to break me, he lunged violently and tried to rip off my jacket. The zipper broke and he pulled it off me with ease. He jumped at me once more, and this time I stopped him by hitting him in the face with my heel. This infuriated him even more as he grabbed my foot and dragged me out of the car. He grabbed me with both hands and tried to kiss me, but I used all my strength and managed to free myself from his grip to push him away and escape. Although he was a man and I was a woman who trained frequently, and he was a man well out of shape and in his 50s. At that moment, I ran without looking back. I just wanted to get away from him. After a few seconds, I heard the car start up and accelerate in my direction. The car was speeding towards me. It was trying to run me over. I turned around one more time and saw the two headlights of the car pointed at me, blinding me. Almost as a reflex, I jumped to the side and the car missed me by inches. Instead of stopping or trying to attack me again, Antonio simply accelerated and drove away, leaving me alone in the middle of nowhere. I was afraid he would come back, so I ran until my legs gave out. Finally, finding shelter in a nearby shop, people looked at me with concern as I tried to explain what had happened. The police were called and soon arrived on the scene. With all the information Uber provided, it was impossible for my attacker to get away with it. Antonio was arrested later that day. The next few weeks were hell. I had constant nightmares and couldn't bring myself to order another Uber. My work was very understanding, and I was allowed to take my holiday early. The police were sympathetic, but the process of testifying and reliving the attack was exhausting. Fortunately, I had the support of my family and friends, and the police never released my name to the media, so I remain anonymous. The trial was a painful but necessary process. Watching Antonio in the courtroom, trying to justify what he had done, was nauseating. Today, the trial is still going on, but without much media attention. I know that justice will be done, and the man will be convicted. Today, I decided to take an Uber again, as it is the only way to get to work. Every time I get in, I am very scared and careful, always carrying pepper spray and being aware of what might happen. I'm still a woman of routines, but only now I realize one thing. You can't be on the street without assuming that something bad, very bad, can happen to you at any moment. This story is based on the crime of Jose Antonio Canales Sanchez, an Uber driver in St. Petersburg, Florida. On November 2, 2023, Canales Sanchez picked up a 32-year-old woman to take her to her destination. However, he diverted the route and stopped in a car park where he attempted to sexually assault her. Despite Canales Sanchez's efforts, the woman managed to fight him off and escape from the vehicle. Canales Sanchez was arrested later that afternoon and charged with a sexual assault and false imprisonment. His sentencing information is not yet publicly available, as the legal process is ongoing.